Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Mark. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." Thus far the text. Jesus and the disciples are trying to get a little bit of R&R. It's been a long road already, and certainly they are tired. The disciples, they've just returned from their own trip. They've been sent out to the surrounding countryside to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And they've also been given that authority over demons to cast them out and to heal many who were sick. Surely it must have been exhilarating, but it must have also been quite exhausting. Now, as for Jesus, he had just gotten the news that his beloved cousin John had been beheaded by Herod. Death is a horrible thing. Death by the sword, death as a martyr, certainly worse. And so he, too, is in need of a good vacation. So they scramble away by boat to a desolate place. Time to recharge their batteries. A chance to console each other. Also to fellowship with one another. But the people, they had a different idea. The crowds, they recognize Jesus and the disciples getting into the boat, and so they hurry off to that desolate place. And how they knew where Jesus was going, I have no clue. Maybe there was a popular tourist destination in that area that everybody went to for the weekend. Whatever the case, the crowd beats them there, thousands of them. And as Jesus arrives, his eyes behold what must have seemed like a packed stadium worth of people. All of them waiting for Jesus to make land. And sure, yes, he could have pushed off from the shore once again and found another place to go, but chances are the people would have found them there too. Besides, that isn't the way of Jesus. For Jesus looks upon his people like a shepherd who looks upon his sheep. And you can't just steal yourself away for a couple of days and leave the flock unattended. They would be lost without their shepherd. And so a shepherd sacrifices for the sheep. The shepherd sacrifices for his sheep. He does not grow weary of serving them. He lays aside his needs in order to give to them what they need. Coming ashore, Jesus has this gut-wrenching compassion on these people. Gone is all thought of relaxation time for himself. There's work to be done. The people need to be taught and they need to be fed. And so this is exactly what Jesus does. But the disciples, they want their time alone. They've been promised a vacation and now all of these people have ruined it. They seem to be more than just a little annoyed at this whole thing. And so they poke Jesus in the ribs and they whisper into his ear. And it's kind of funny, isn't it, how they think that he doesn't understand the situation. As if it slipped his mind that there they are in the middle of this desolate place. And all the grocery stores in the towns are going to be closed by nightfall. "Send them away, Jesus," they say. "Let them fend for themselves and we can finally start a vacation." But isn't that the way of it? For all of us. Service is easy when service is convenient. When it fits into our schedule and what we're willing to do, goodness, what we like to do, then serving our neighbor is as easy as it gets. But what kind of service is that? And yes, I'm as guilty as the next guy. I wear lots of hats, so do all of you. As a pastor, a husband, a father, and a friend, I love to serve my neighbor when it serves me, when I don't have to actually sacrifice. When that's the case, I'll bend over backwards to help my neighbor. But when it comes to having an actual inconvenience, when it actually becomes a hardship to bear my brother's burdens and help with all of that heavy lifting, I would much rather just say to Jesus, can't we just send them away? Can't they just fend for themselves? But again, this isn't the way of our Lord. He doesn't intend to leave his people wanting. He will forego what is good for him so that they might have what is good for them. That's the way of a shepherd. That's the way of a servant. Again, that's the way of the shepherd and the servant. He's taught the masses what needed to be taught, and now he's going to feed them as well. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Kind of like what we experience here at the divine service. Maybe, just maybe, the things done here on Sunday mornings have a divine blueprint that has been laid out for us so that we might receive the good gifts from our good shepherd. But the disciples, they've had their fill of serving all of these people, even though they haven't really been the ones who were serving them. And so they do come up to Jesus with some rational words that do make sense. They think that they've done all that's expected of them. Jesus, too. The day is late, they say. The show's over. We've already done more than we've needed to. You've already done more than you've needed to, Jesus. You need your rest. We do, too. The least that they can do is get their own dinner. Besides, once they go off into the cities to get fed, we can sneak out the back and find that place of rest for ourselves, away from all these needy, helpless moochers. Now, if I were Jesus, I would think that that would be a fine idea. Maybe a little harsh, perhaps, but necessary, because the Lord helps those who help themselves, after all, right? That's why it's a good thing that I'm not Jesus. Because Jesus, he looks right at his disciples and gives them a simple answer. You give them something to eat. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. It's one thing for you to kill yourself for people like this, all needy and helpless and ungrateful as they are. But what do you expect us to do? We have no money to buy them food. All we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. This will barely feed us, let alone the thousands out there. I'm sorry, Jesus, we just can't do it. But of course, Jesus didn't really expect them to feed the crowd. What were they going to give the crowd anyway? Never mind the fact that they did just return from a trip of their own, and they had been given the authority to heal and cast out demons, but that hadn't really been from them, had it? It was from Jesus. This authority was his, and so he was the one doing all those miraculous things through his disciples. Maybe, just maybe, he had the same thing in store this time around too. And so Jesus would feed the crowd. He would take care of them. Jesus would tend to their every need, whether it be emotional or spiritual or physical. Jesus would do it all. Surely he would do it all. He could do no other because that is who he is. He's a servant to the masses, and he's a shepherd to his sheep. Now we would think Jesus, being God and all, would deserve the crowd's service. They should be the one tending to his needs. They should be the one appeasing all of his desires. They should be the one seeking out everything that he wants them to do, and then they should go about doing it. Is that what we think Sunday morning's all about? Is that why we come here? To serve God? Maybe that's why we get tired of serving our neighbor all the time. Because we think this whole Christianity thing is about us serving God. But that isn't what this thing is about. That isn't how God works. That's certainly not how Jesus our Lord works. We don't serve him. He serves us. We don't come here today to offer him anything. He comes here today to offer us everything. Jesus is the serving shepherd. We're the sheep. And so he multiplies the loaves and the fish. And yes, of course, he does have his disciples hand out the goods, but it is him who supplies for the needs of those 5,000 and more people. And not just enough to get by. Everyone is satisfied. Belts unbuckled, bellies bursting, not another bite could be eaten. He supplies so much that there are even 12 basketfuls left over. Jesus supplies them with more than they could ever ask for. But notice the people don't even have to ask. He gives them everything that they need to support this body and life. He gives them their daily bread, just as he's taught us to pray. But we pray not so that he would give, and not so that we would receive, but so that we would know that every good gift is from his hand. Jesus serves. They receive. There's no other way about it. Even when all logic would point to the opposite, Jesus does the other. Even when his needs, if for just this one time, should come first, he lays them aside as if they don't matter and does what must be done for those poor, helpless moochers for whom he has compassion. Jesus, he prepares a table for them. They don't need to go away. Why would they ever need to go away? Why would they need to go and search someone else out to provide for them what he has already promised he would? Why would they need to rely on themselves for anything when he and all of his promises and goodness and graces is all that they ever need? Why would he turn them away, ask them to do anything for themselves, when he's come to do everything for them? Why would he ever stop being their servant, their shepherd? He wouldn't. He doesn't. Not for them, and certainly not for you. Jesus serves you. He is a servant for you. He's your servant. And he doesn't turn you away. And he doesn't expect you to go it alone, or accomplish it all by yourself, or find your own heavenly food, or climb your own way up into paradise, or pay for your own sin, or make amends for all the things that you've done wrong. Jesus doesn't ask you to serve him in the hopes that you might get a few crumbs that crumble down to the floor. No, Jesus serves you. Word proclaimed, and water washed, and table prepared, and yes, amazingly, he even uses reluctant, self-centered, selfish pastors to hand out his gifts. But all along, it's Jesus. It certainly isn't me. If it were up to me, I would be like the disciples and have you fend for yourselves. I may look the part, but I'm a sinner, just like all the rest. No, it's Jesus. Jesus words you, and he waters you, and he bodies and he bloods you until you've received everything that you need. He supplies more than enough, 12 baskets full to be exact. Here it is, all for you. Here he is, all for you. Sins forgiven, each and every single last one of them. Eternal life given, even right now as you await your impending death. Salvation from all of your enemies, even the devil himself. You don't have to go away and find it for yourself. It's right here for you. It's always right here for you, no matter the time or the place or the situation or the need. It's Jesus for you. Jesus serving you. Jesus feeding you. He won't stop. Not ever. He's your servant. He's your good shepherd. What else could he do? In the name of Jesus.